Good morning. Our text from Luke this morning is generally read during Holy Week. It's kind of interesting and fun to dive into it on a September Sunday morning. It can be found in each of the four Gospels, but it's written a little differently in each of the four. In Matthew, Jesus' trial is found on chapter 27, Mark in chapter 15, and in John it is at the end of 18 and runs into chapter 19. Today we will look at the scripture in Luke and then reflect on how it might influence us today. As we look at our text, we may ask, why did a Roman official, Pilate, listen to the crowd in releasing Barabbas and sentencing Jesus to death? Rome was not usually that kind or open to the whims of its citizens. One scholar from Boston College notes, Jesus did have a smart alecky answer when Pilate asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You say so." Was this why Pilate was so easily listening to the crowd and so ready to sentence Jesus to death? Yet some theologians say this was just all part of the plan. In the book of Matthew, the text says that Pilate washed his hands of Jesus' death. This does not say Pilate believed anything special about Jesus, but that he had a conscience in sentencing an innocent man to death. We must ask ourselves, why did the crowds change their feelings for Jesus? Maybe we should look at who was in the crowd. We are not sure of the size or makeup of the crowd. We do know that there were chief priests and scribes, leaders, and crowds or people present. We do know out of this group of people, they yelled, "Crucify him!" Was it one person who started yelling and then the others chimed in? Was there muttering within the crowd by the leaders who were planted to change the mood of the crowd? Was the crowd not as big as portrayed in paintings or in Jesus Christ Superstar? Were people in antiquity looking for some entertainment which came in the form of violence? Big stadiums were erected in antiquity for gladiators or beasts to fight it out while crowds cheered. In the end, our scripture tells us that the crowd, whoever was present, however big or small, whether they were a part of the crowd of Jesus, part of the crowd as Jesus entered Jerusalem or listened to a sermon on the Mount, this crowd present at the trial called, "Give us Barabbas." As crowds today, we may think we are different, but let's think about some things. We enjoy the Demolition Derby, WWE wrestling, boxing, and American football. We cheer for smashing and crashing. We cheer for violence. Although a couple of the Gospels, when referring to the trial of Jesus, say it was custom or tradition to release one prisoner, many scholars disagree. The tradition of releasing a prisoner is not historically documented. We're not sure if it commonly happened, but it is not documented as tradition or practice during this period of time, according to Cunningham. So, why was Barabbas released? Is this the equivalent of the pardoning of the Thanksgiving turkey by the U.S. president each November? And why Barabbas over Jesus? Maybe the crowds weren't all that large, or maybe they were more chiefs and chief priests and leaders than plain everyday people. Or maybe the crowd knew Barabbas' kind of disruption, the disruption of rioting and violence and murder. But maybe they were unfamiliar with Jesus' expectation of disruption. Jesus was calling the people, the crowds, the chief priests, the leaders, the scribes, to a new kind of disruption. Jesus' disruption called them to go against the cultural norms of ethnicity and social status. Jesus was calling the people not to violence, but to love. Friday, I saw a bumper sticker that read, "Hate is easy. Love takes courage." How true for the crowd of thousands of years ago and for today. Blessed to me, we have the blessing of reflection. We can reflect on each of the people in our text and their steps and missteps in Jesus' death. The contemporary reading this morning, named Peter, has a way of starting our reflection. This poem shifts the focus from Peter's denial being a way of avoiding knowing Jesus to an excuse to remain close to Jesus. How does this change the narrative of Peter and Jesus and Peter's denial for you and I? As we reflect, do we keep our eyes on Jesus yet deny his teachings? For example, the teaching of the goats and sheep in which Jesus tells us when we feed the hungry and thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned, we are doing these things to him, to Jesus. That's quite a list of love and compassion. Jesus does have a way of disrupting things. His disruption changes everything within us. It changes the way we think of ourselves and the way we think of others. What if Christians at large seem to have been so focused on seeing Jesus like Peter and their personal relationship with Jesus, they forgot to practice his teachings? Don't let your church become a religious cushion making people comfortable who need the disruption of grace. What if Jesus' disruption is going against the cultural norms in our society of the U.S., such as our churches and food banks feeding people but not looking at the issues behind poverty, the policy of pushing away the stranger at their darkest hour of need as they try to escape violence and war, capitalist health care, the convenience of plastic over the protection of the earth, or America's original sin of racism and white privilege? What if our call of self-reflection is so deep that we must make changes in the way we live day to day? Jesus' disruption changes the expectations of ourselves, our friends, our community, our government representatives. Are we denying we know Jesus' teachings or calling for Barabbas because Jesus' disruption is too much to bear? I'm asking these questions of you and of me. I don't have all the answers. Upon reflection, what I know for sure is that we are called as Christians to be Christians first. We are called to follow Jesus' teachings wherever they may take us. We are called to let Jesus disrupt us. And when we fall short, we reflect, pray, and try again, so that in the end, we will cry, "Give us Jesus." Amen.